Our scripture lesson this afternoon is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. And this afternoon I'm reading from the New International Version of the scriptures. Let us hear what the Lord would speak to us this afternoon. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in a boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went out where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, today I want us to think about Jesus' question. Do you love me? You see, it's not enough to say I love you once. We must say it over and over again. All of us who have ever loved or been loved know that the words "I love you" can never be said enough. For some of us who have weathered the hurts of broken relationships, saying "I love you" for the first time again is one of the most frightening things we will ever do. Saying "I love you" out loud is an important milestone in any relationship, whether you are whispering it to a sweetheart, promising it to a child, admitting it to a separated parent, offering it to a lonely friend, or affirming it to a brother or sister. At times, we must hear those three simple words packed with enormous meaning over and over again before we begin to trust the reality of them, before we begin to feel the weight of the love that lies behind them. In our passage this afternoon, Jesus asks it of Peter three times. The scripture says, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, the son of Zebedee, and two others were out fishing. If we remember the story of Peter's call, we know that Jesus called him from being a fisherman, as were the others in the boat. It seems Peter returned to his occupation, because sometimes returning to what is common to us helps to calm us, does it not? This special meal with the risen Lord had a profound effect on these seven disciples. Peter would later make the claim to the reliability of his witness of Jesus' resurrection by saying in Acts 10:41, he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Now, it's not certain why the precise number of fish, 153, is given, other than listing it as a historical fact. It also was a procedure for fishermen to count the day's catch before they divided it among themselves. Or maybe they noted it because the catch was so large, having caught nothing all night, detailing the miraculous nature of the catch. The three times Jesus asked the question, Peter holds great significance with Peter because it is the number of times that Peter denied Jesus. And with each time, Jesus gives his disciple a directive. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. And it's obvious that it took Peter three times to let it sink in and get what it takes for all of us, a lifetime to practice. Jesus' question about loving and his command about feeding are one directive. Peter didn't understand immediately the implications of what it means to love Christ, but he would. John's passage wants us to see that loving Jesus means living in a new reality, and that our behavior will change based on three truths: our position in Christ as a beloved son or daughter, the new life that knowing Christ brings about, and a new nature and attitude that is concerned with caring for others as well as for ourselves. In other words, because we have been united with Christ, we can no longer solely focus on earthly things, but we must see Christ in everything. Feeding the sheep means loving, protecting, and caring for those whom Jesus loves. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. He says to those who are called to serve, deacons, do you love me? Then tend my sheep. Elders, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Loving Christ and tending Christ's flock are one and the same thing, and is the principal call of those who know Christ, and especially those who are in leadership positions in the church.
That's right.
Taking Jesus' command seriously means that we, even when we feel like a wreck, because either we are frustrated, broken, lacking direction, or just flat out discouraged, that we must just stop for a minute, turn our eyes toward Jesus and his presence for help. We don't throw in the towel and walk away.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
There's no giving up and giving in God's service. If there were, we'd never get anything done. Amen?
Amen.
But we need to go to the source of our calling. And he will be prepared to graciously welcome us and renew us. Just as he offered the disciples the warmth of a fire and breakfast, Jesus offers you and me sustenance, comfort, and fellowship. He has promised to equip us for the journey, and he has also promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. In fact, he has given us his Holy Spirit as our comforter and as our guide, as our equipper.
That's right.
Amen? So it's really not about us. And it's really not about our strength or our power. But it's about who? Jesus. Amen? There's another thing about Jesus and his command about tending the sheep. Peter is charged to feed and care for the flock by shepherding them. Jesus wasn't asking Peter to lead, but to take action. If people in leadership assume that holding a position or having a title or being in charge is all they must do, then they have missed the point. Amen.
Amen.
It may not be here, and I know it's not at Grace. But people take leadership positions because they think that they're supposed to tell everybody else what to do.
Amen?
Amen? But that's not what it's about. Leadership in ministry requires a servant's heart. Giving to others, not just telling them what to do. Mentoring and strengthening others, not picking them apart or gossiping about them. It's encouraging others to stretch themselves and stretch their arms wide open to embrace others, to embrace Jesus, the church, and the community. After this encounter, Peter remembered his commission. He became a dedicated shepherd of the flock, and later he would lay down his life just like Jesus did on the cross under Nero, the Roman emperor. Now, I want to leave us with three R's: repetition, ritual, and reinforcement. These will help us on our journey to stay faithful to Christ and his call on our lives to serve. Number one, repetition. Jesus repeated his question to Peter three times, not out of doubt or because Peter didn't get it, but in order to strengthen the power of his words. With each, "Do you love me?" the meaning and the implications behind this question soaked in more deeply to Peter's heart. You see, sometimes we don't fully grasp what God's call is on our lives the first time we pray. We may need to go back again and again and maybe even again to get a clearer understanding of how specifically we are called to love and to serve God in God's church. Because as we know, there are no cookie cutter Christians. Amen?
Amen.
We each are called. We each have a call. We are each given gifts. And the way those gifts are worked out are unique in our lives.
Amen.
And most certainly, if you just go to God once, you might not get the answer. Amen?
Amen.
God wants to know you're committed. Amen. God wants to know that you really want to know what he wants you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because if God just answered us the first time, every time. Amen. Persistence works character in us. Persistence really lets God know that we're serious about what we're asking of him. Number two, rituals. Rituals like lighting the candles at the beginning of worship, passing the peace, singing hymns, giving our offering or prayer need not be mindless acts. But too often for church folk, they are. We know the program. We can do it with our eyes closed. Amen?
Yeah.
Rituals rightly performed are mindful acts. Every time we do them, we are retelling our story of faith. We all have personal rituals in the morning, don't we? We get up and we brush our teeth, we take a shower, we walk the dog. Well, Ronald walks the dog. I don't walk the dog. Make coffee? I make the coffee. We read the paper or do some version of this routine. The consistency is comforting and settles our systems before we launch into another hectic day. Have you established a similar pattern of faithfulness? We need faith rituals to give us stability when everything else around us seems to be shifting. And Lord knows we're living in a time that everything seems to be shifting.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and I'm not going to get on a tangent, but do you know, since we got a new president, more people have gone to the doctor for anxiety medicine than ever? Amen. He turned the world upside down, and I'm not sure it's for the right reasons. Amen. So we need faith rituals as a sense of stability for our lives. And a faith ritual can be a prayer of thanksgiving every time you enter your home, or a time of devotion at the beginning of each day. Committing to a worship event without somebody coercing you to do it, or even being faithful to your commitment to serve in the church. Faith rituals that help to be a place of stability in our lives when all around us things just seem to be crazy. Number three, reinforcement. Now, have you ever found it hard? I know I'm finding it hard right now. When you're on a diet and you hit one of those weight plateaus, and no matter how good you've been, no matter how many salads that you eat, your scales refuse to budge. Don't you just hate that? I do. We need to regularly spend time in worship and God's word, and be reminded of the great love he has bestowed upon us as a reminder to be faithful to his call on our lives to feed and care for his sheep. And as I said, in a world full of distractions and stresses, it is so easy to lose our focus on what we are really to be all about, and that is loving God and caring for others. Yes, it's a risk to respond to Jesus' call to love and to serve. Anybody who has been a part of the church, and I don't see any newbies in here, so anybody who has been a part of the church for most of your life knows loving folk and serving is not easy.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Jesus never said it was going to be, did he? He was the master. Amen. The King of Kings. The greatest teacher that ever lived. They saw him raise people from the dead and cast out demons and heal people of all kind of illnesses, and they still didn't get it. And they still acted up. And people still betrayed him and ultimately killed him. So why do we think people are always going to be nice to us? Amen? Are we greater than our master? No. Amen? God is good. So though it's a risk, it is a risk that we cannot afford not to take. Because there's great dividends. Amen? In the end. So in our passage, the disciples, full of joy, begin rowing toward the shore to greet Jesus. Simon Peter doesn't even wait for the boat. He impulsively jumps into the water and swims to meet Christ. And no longer would they be fishermen, but they would be fishers of men. Amen. How about you? When Jesus asks the question, "Do you love me?" What is your answer? This is what he would say to all of us. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Care for my people. And praise be to God, he gives us the grace to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. You promise, Father, to equip us for everything you call us to do. And you tell us, God, that we are not to take our hand off the plow and look back, but we are to keep our focus on you, stay on that narrow road, and be faithful to what you have called us to do in a world with so many voices, with people espousing so many crazy ideas, with false teachers and false messiahs. You are still Lord, and we are yours. Renew us. Refresh us. Enliven us afresh and anew to continue to faithfully serve you, Father, in the way that you are calling us to serve you, not in the way we think we should. Let us, oh God, put aside our program and say whatever you have for us, Lord, thy will be done. We are your servants. We desire to do your will. Thank you, God, for loving us first. We love you because you first loved us. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.